understand since I don't get it enough. Sebastian cracked a smile.
Dry spell.
The profiles of the people who like my online dating profile look like a sex offender registry. We both laughed.
Yeah, it's not easy, he said.
Sebastian's eyes dropped to do a quick sweep over my body and then rose to meet mine again. Finding that I'd just watched him check me out, he cleared his throat.
So, when can you come again?
Interesting choice of words. How about the same time next week?
That'd be great. And thanks for letting me know about Birdie's snooping. I really appreciate it.
Of course. See you next week. I walked down the front stairs and toward the corner. With every step, I had the strongest urge to look back and see if Sebastian was watching me. When I reached the end of the block, before I turned, I gave in and looked back. Sebastian hadn't moved from the spot I'd left him. I sighed to myself. Yeah, it's not easy out there, but I wouldn't mind climbing that man like a tree.
Chapter 13. Sebastian. She's pretty, isn't she? Hmm? I pretended not to hear the question that Magdalene had just hit me with. We were alone in the kitchen right after Sadie and Birdie had left to head to the park with Marmaduke. Sadie didn't really have a set day here. She basically agreed to come whenever her schedule allowed. Today happened to be a Sunday and was Sadie's second visit since her return. We hadn't discussed an actual end date, but she didn't seem anxious to stop the visits. As long as Birdie was happy, I wasn't going to be the one to initiate ending the arrangement.
Sadie, she's very pretty, she repeated,
as if I hadn't heard her the first time. I took one last sip of coffee and said, I'm actually late for a meeting with an imported olive oil vendor at the restaurant, so...
You're trying to avoid the topic. I understand.
I froze just as I was exiting the kitchen, then turned. What do you expect me to say? Of course she's a beautiful girl. She wiped the counters.
And sweet.
And seems like a good person.
What are you getting at, Magdalene?
Nothing. I just noticed you looking at her and...
Goodbye, Magdalene.
I smiled so she didn't think I was mad. But I needed to completely dismiss this topic of conversation. The fact that she'd noticed me checking Sadie out was not good. I'd actually been making a concerted effort not to do that. But it wasn't easy. It was hard not to look at her, to admire her natural beauty whenever we were in the same room. Sadie was attractive in a clean and effortless way. She didn't need a drop of makeup. And let's not get started on her body. It was perfect. So I noticed. Sue me, Magdalene. After I'd gone to my office to grab my keys and wallet, I was just about to head out the front door when she stopped me one more time.
Mr. Maxwell?
I turned. Yes? She looked down at her feet.
It's been 4 years, and I wonder if...
I understand that your intentions are good, but I'm not interested in a relationship or a replacement. No one will ever replace Amanda. Is that what you're hinting at?
Of course not, but you deserve to be happy, and Mrs. Maxwell would have wanted you to be.
I laughed. Mrs. Maxwell would not have been happy that I was ogling the cute blonde dog trainer, Mags. If you think otherwise, then you didn't know my wife very well.
I'm sorry, she shook her head. I shouldn't have pried.
I know you mean well. But I've finally developed a groove, and that doesn't include anything serious when it comes to dating or relationships. I barely have time for my daughter. She shut her eyes and nodded.
Understood. As long as you're happy.
I wasn't going to touch that comment. Happy wasn't exactly the right word. Stable, maybe. Holding things together, maybe. Not burning down the house, maybe. But happy... There wasn't any time for Happy. Happy didn't live here anymore. Magdalene had been around our family for a very long time. When she wasn't watching Birdie, she cleaned and cooked for us. At this point, she was the one constant in our lives. She also knew way too much. I knew she'd found the condoms in my underwear drawer once because she'd neatly placed the strip back into the box and closed it. She clearly knew I hadn't been celibate. Maybe that gave her the wrong idea. Like, just because my dick was functioning again, maybe there was hope for my heart. But it didn't work that way. Evidently, Birdie wasn't the only one wishing for a special friend around here. Later that night, my daughter ran into the study where I'd been doing some inventory work for Bianco's. She seemed frantic when she said, "Daddy, you have to call Sadie." "Why?" She lifted a tablet she was holding. "She forgot her iPad mini here." I took the device from her and looked down at it. "Oh, well, I'm sure she can do without it until she sees us again."
"No! She told me she uses it for work. She puts all her notes on it, you know, from her dates and stuff. She let me borrow it to watch something with her Hulu account while she was talking with Magdalene. I put it down to go steal cookies from the pantry while they weren't paying attention. Then I started talking to them in the kitchen, and she left without taking it. I forgot I had it in my room until now."
I blew out an exasperated breath. "All right. I've got her number. I'll give her a call. I can let her know it's here if she wants to come get it."
"Thanks, Daddy."
She placed her arms around my neck, and I gently squeezed her little frame. Rubbing her back, I said, "Go get some sleep. It's late." Birdie ran out of the room, and I listened to her footsteps as she headed down the hall. I stared at the phone in my hands for several seconds before scrolling down to Sadie's name. When she picked up, I heard a ton of background noise before she finally said,
"Hello?"
"Hey, it's Sebastian Maxwell." She spoke over the muffled sounds.
"Oh, hey, how are you?"
It sounded like she might have been inside a crowded restaurant or bar. "I'm calling because you left your iPad here. Sadie was adamant that I let you know."
"Oh, crap, that's right. I'd let her borrow it and completely forgot to take it back before I left."
"Anyway, we can hang on to it. I just wanted to let you know it was here, in case you were looking for it."
"Do you mind if I stop by tonight and get it?"
Not expecting that, I hesitated.
"Sure." "Thank you. I'm sorry for the bother. I can be there in about a half hour."
I ran a hand through my hair.
"Okay." "Great. Thanks. See you in a bit."
After we hung up, I stayed at my desk, bouncing my legs up and down, swiveling in my seat, tapping my pen, crumpling up paper. Anything but concentrating on work. I finally gave up and took the iPad out into the living room while I anticipated her arrival any minute. When that knock finally came, nothing could have prepared me for the sight on the other side of the door. When I opened it, I found Sadie standing there in a tiny black dress, only a fur cape covering her shoulders. She wore leather boots that went all the way up to her knees. Her long blonde hair was wavier than normal. She looked sexy as all hell, and it honestly made me have to catch my breath for a second. My gaze lingered on hers. A streetlight caught her eyes just enough for the blue of her irises to glow in the dark. Fuck, she was beautiful. A thought of what those eyes would look like staring up from under me crossed my mind. "Really, Sebastian?" She took a few steps inside the doorway, even though I hadn't exactly invited her in yet. Although it was cold out, and I would have anyway. "You're awfully dressed up. Hot date tonight?" She looked down at herself, seeming almost embarrassed by her attire.
"Oh, God. No, I was on a date, or rather, an assignment for work, not a real date."
"Ah, I should have known."
"That's where I was when you called. This was the perfect excuse to get out of it, let me tell you."
"No wonder you were so eager to come get your iPad so late. Another bomb, huh?"
"Let's put it this way. He went to the bathroom more times than I could count. Either he had a bad case of diarrhea or he's a drug addict. Either way, I'm all set."
I broke out into a laugh.
"Ouch. Yeah, let's just hope he washed his hands each time before digging through the breadbasket." She sighed. "Anyway, I'll take my iPad and be on my merry way."
"Oh, yeah, I have it right here." I scratched my head, momentarily having forgotten where I put it. After I spotted it on the end table, I grabbed it. But not before tripping on the damn end table. Having her here was making me tense. I finally handed it to her. "Thanks again," she said as she took it. "I can't believe I left this here. If it didn't have all my notes on it from earlier this week, I might have been able to wait until the next time I came, but I have a deadline." She looked beyond my shoulder. "I assume Birdie is asleep?" "Yeah. Or possibly pretending to be asleep until she decides to sneak out of her room and steal a few cookies." She smiled, and it lit up her whole face. "Of course." Her smile faded, and she backed up a few feet toward the door. "Well, I'll get out of your hair. Thanks again." She lingered as if she wasn't quite ready to leave. The second she turned around, I felt this odd feeling, like the house went from warm to cold. And fuck, I wanted the warmth back. "Don't do it. Don't do it." "Sadie," I called out. She turned back around in an instant.
"Yes?"
"It's cold out. I usually put on some tea around this time, try to relax and unwind. Would you want to stay and have a cup with me before you hit the road?" There was that smile again.
"After the night I've had, a hot cup of tea sounds really good."
"Great. I promise not to run to the bathroom every 2 minutes." She cackled.
"Seriously, who does that?"
Sadie followed me to the kitchen and sat down at the table. I grabbed the kettle and filled it with filtered water from the tap before setting two ceramic teacups down on the counter. "Black tea okay?" I asked.
"Yes. I can have caffeine any time of night and still fall asleep."
"Me too, even coffee."
"Same,"
she grinned. "You take milk, sugar, or I have honey?"
"Just a little milk, thank you."
As I waited for the water to boil, I leaned back against the granite and crossed my arms. "So, how often do you do your research per week?"
"You mean how many disastrous dates do I endure?"
She laughed.
"A few at most. That's enough. It's seriously scary out there."
I felt oddly protective of her. "You always meet them in public, right?"
"Always."
It honestly surprised me that she didn't have her choice of any man she wanted. "You know, I'm actually shocked that you don't have better luck. You're clearly attractive, smart. Why all the losers?"
"New York is the problem, honestly. There are more women than men here. It makes the dating game tricky. You have to work much harder to find the good ones. And the good ones have their pick of many. I honestly avoid going out altogether when I'm not working."
"I met my wife in college and never had to do the online dating thing. It's one of the things I loved about being married, not having to worry about the logistics of all that."
"It's a huge time suck."
The kettle started whistling, so I prepared her tea, adding a splash of milk, then the boiling water before steeping the tea bag. I placed the cups on the table and sat down.
"Thank you,"
she said before blowing on the steam. "So, today went well with the dog?" I asked.
"You're clearly referring to the actual dog and not the dog I met tonight."
"Yes, I was referring to the Duke."
"The Duke?"
She nearly spit out her tea.
"I love that nickname for him."
She looked around.
"Where the heck is the Duke anyway?"
"He sleeps when Birdie sleeps. Does that surprise you?"
"Not a bit. That's so cute,"
she beamed.
"And yeah, today was actually one of the better days we've had. He listens to Birdie so well now." "Which was the point of all this, right?"
"Was the point? I thought the point of this was initially a butterfly barrette, wasn't it?" I teased. Her face actually turned pink, and it was fucking adorable. She looked down into her cup, shaking her head.
"I deserve that."
"I'm kidding. You know that, right?"
"At least you're laughing about it and not calling the police on me."
"I wouldn't have called the police on you. That was an empty threat."
"Well, that's good at least."
"You'll be happy to know. I sometimes think back and laugh at the ridiculousness of what happened," I said, starting to crack up unexpectedly. "When you found out he was supposed to be trained in German, you must have inwardly freaked." She was laughing now, too.
You have no idea.
I've got to give you credit for even attempting to tackle it. That took some serious balls.
Balls and a dash of lunacy?
Our eyes locked for a moment. There was something so comfortable about being around her. She always seemed familiar, even though I knew we'd never met before this whole thing with Birdie. Speaking of my daughter, there was so much I wanted to ask Sadie while I had her attention, but I didn't know if it would be too intrusive. I took a chance. Do you mind if I pick your brain about something?
Sure. I think I managed to salvage some of my brain that didn't get fried during my date tonight. I'll be happy to offer up what's left.
I chuckled. Okay, I appreciate that. She took a sip of her tea, then said, What's up? I rested my chin on my wrist. I know you said your mother died when you were 6 and a half, just like Birdie. Looking back at your childhood with just a father and no mother, what, if anything, do you wish your dad had done differently? She nodded a few times and pondered that.
That's an interesting question. I can see why you'd be curious about that, given you're in the same situation.
Well, you have the rare gift of hindsight. I'm just trying to prevent making any mistakes along the way that might be avoidable. Birdie is still so young. I can't imagine what things will be like when she gets into her teen years. If there's a way to plan ahead... Her eyes moved from side to side. She looked like she was struggling to come up with an answer that would satisfy me.
There's really nothing specific I can say I'd change when it comes to how my dad handled anything with me. I was always very conscious of the fact that my dad was doing the best he could. What more could I have asked for? But what parents fail to understand, sometimes, is just how much kids can see through them. I could always tell if my dad was depressed, even if he was trying to hide it from me. I really wish he had taken more time for himself and not worried so much about how things might affect me. Us daughters, we're tougher than you think, and in the end, we really want to see our dads happy, because that makes us happy.
Yeah, I whispered. Okay. Fair enough. They say people come into your life for a reason. Maybe Sadie and I were meant to meet because her personal experience mirrored ours. I'd never encountered anyone who quite understood our situation like she did. Talking to her definitely brought me a lot of comfort, made me feel less alone. That was a first since Amanda died.
Birdie knows how hard you try and how much you love her, and she can also sense when you're down.
I'm starting to realize that more and more. Sadie flashed a sympathetic smile.
When my dad was diagnosed with cancer,
Wait, your father had cancer too? I hadn't meant to interrupt her, but that was pretty shocking to hear.
Yeah, my dad was diagnosed with colon cancer when I was a teenager. Can you believe that? He's in remission now, thank God.
I shook my head in disbelief. I can't imagine how scary that must have been for you, and for him.
It really was. It tested my faith big time. I didn't understand how that could be happening to me twice. But I tried my best not to dwell on the woe is me aspect. He needed every bit of strength I had to help him get through it, not only mentally but physically. So the self-pity had to wait. It was a few years of touch and go. When he finally did make it through, I, of course, felt like I dodged a bullet. And it's made me even more grateful for him.
Her attitude blew me away. Wow. You were really surrounded by cancer growing up.
I was. So much so that at one point, I went and got genetic testing done because I was certain I was destined to have it too. Which is absurd.
I don't think it's so strange. A lot of cancers are genetic. Sounds like you made a mature decision to get tested.
Did I mention that I'm adopted?
She laughed.
I understood that I didn't have the same genes as my mom and dad, yet I was convinced that I had it too. Still think it's not so strange?
I smiled. All right. So I guess that does change things a bit.
Yeah. My mom couldn't have children. She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer the first time at 23. They tried for years after she went into remission,
but the chemo did a lot of damage. It's amazing how your situation mirrors ours. My wife and I struggled to get pregnant as well and went the route of getting fertility help.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
But I guess that's another reason why Birdie and I connected so easily. We're both extra special because our parents had to work that much harder to have us. I smiled. Anyway, I'm sorry if I got us off on a depressing tangent there for a little while, but I really appreciate the insight. It's been 4 years since Amanda died, but the solo parenting thing still feels like uncharted territory every single day. I closed my eyes for a moment, contemplating what my life had become. Then I opened them and spoke in somewhat of a daze. You spend your youth trying to make something of yourself, feeling invincible, running on adrenaline. Finally, fall into a career, have a family, everything's perfect, right? Then, when something like cancer enters the picture, when your life has barely even started, it knocks the wind out of you. But it's too much to fathom. The only way I handled her being sick was to pretend it wasn't happening, telling myself and her that everything was going to be fine. You go through the motions of each day, trying to be strong for everyone. It's like a constant state of numbness. And it has to be, because feeling what was happening wasn't an option. Even when she died, I was still numb. It doesn't hit you, really, until some random time. You know, long after the people stopped coming over and bringing food. I woke up one random morning. The Today Show was on. It was just a regular morning for most. But that was the day it just hit me that my life as I knew it was really over. Or at least it felt that way. But it really couldn't be over, right? Because I had to keep going somehow, for Birdie. So you start to push again, building a new life from the ground up, still trying not to really feel anything too much because that might throw your progress off track. I rubbed my eyes and sighed. Anyway, it's a strange existence sometimes. Jesus, I really had taken us somewhere depressing. Her eyes were piercing. She looked like she might cry. I hoped to hell she wouldn't. I couldn't have handled that. I felt every word you just said, Sebastian. Every word. I've obviously never lost a spouse, but I watched my dad go through it. And I understand firsthand that feeling of going through the motions. I really do. I downed the last of my lukewarm tea, wishing it were scotch, and placed the empty cup down. What a fucking downer this tea turned out to be. I bet you're wishing you were back with Bathroom Boy right about now.
God, no, she sighed. Do you know how rare it is to have a deep adult conversation that I can relate to?
I certainly didn't plan to ambush you with that.
Anytime you want to talk, honestly, I'm happy to listen.
She winked.
But you might get an earful from me, too. That's the risk.
All right, thanks. Sadie tilted her head and studied me quietly. She seemed to be debating something she might want to say.
Can I ask you something?
She eventually said. Pretty sure I owe you an answer to anything you want after what I just asked you to answer. A giant grin spread across her face.
Good. If you were watching a naked woman dance, would you rather she danced to Sir Mix-a-Lot or Louis Capaldi?
I chuckled. You're an interesting woman, Sadie. This is definitely not a question I could have anticipated you asking right now.
Is that a bad or good thing?
My eyes looked back and forth between her eyes. It's a very good thing. And I really like big butts. It took her a second to realize what I'd meant. I had no idea why she'd asked the question, but the smile on her face told me I'd picked the right answer, and I liked that a whole lot. We ended up busting out Birdie's cookies and talking some more. She told me a little about her childhood upstate, about her dad's funny weather instruments, and asked me some questions about the restaurant business, which of course I could have talked about all night. We spoke about her career. Sadie told me while she didn't foresee leaving the magazine, she hoped to move away from the dating column eventually to try something new. The conversation with her was just easy. and it had felt good to unload, too. But now that I'd snapped out of my fleeting emotional stupor from earlier, I was back to staring at her lips while she spoke. That felt wrong for so many reasons. If it were just a physical attraction, maybe I could have justified it. But there was a pang in my chest right now that I didn't want to feel, that I couldn't feel. And here comes closed off Sebastian in 3, 2, 1. My chair skidded against the floor as I slid it back. Well, I don't want to keep you. She looked surprised by my sudden hint that it might be time for her to leave. She'd seemed so comfortable. Just like I'd felt before that realization hit. I was comfortable. Too comfortable. She looked down at her phone. Yeah, I better get going. I ended up calling her an Uber. After she left that night, I took our dirty teacups to the sink and noticed the red lipstick mark on hers, and my dick twitched. Now I'd resorted to getting turned on by a lipstick mark. It was definitely time to get laid again, just not with Sadie. I repeat, not with Sadie.
Chapter 14. Sadie. So what's going on in Birdieland? I feel like you've clammed up ever since you started going back to the Maxwell household again. Devin plopped down in a guest chair on the other side of my desk with her coffee in hand. She wiggled her eyebrows. Better yet, what's going on with Hot Dad? I had been pretty quiet on that front lately. While I'd shared all the crazy antics with her since the very first letter, something changed after I'd come clean and Sebastian let me resume my visits. I wasn't pretending to be someone I wasn't anymore, so things sort of became, I don't know, real. And that made it feel private, like something I shouldn't be gossiping about. But after the other night when I went to pick up my iPad and Sebastian and I spent some time talking, I did feel the need to talk about things right now. God knows I'd overanalyzed that evening enough already and still couldn't make heads or tails of what had gone wrong. Actually, I spent some time alone with Sebastian a few nights ago. Devin's eyes widened. Oh my God! And you are telling me this now? Why didn't I get the play-by-play the day after it happened? I smiled. It's not what you think. I forgot my iPad, and Sebastian called me to tell me. I was in the middle of a bad date, so I used his call as an excuse to end it early and went over there to pick it up. We wound up having tea and talking for a long time. I thought we were having a great conversation, very heartfelt, yet we were still able to poke fun and share a few laughs. At one point, I could have sworn I noticed him watching my lips with that look. You know the one, where you're paying attention to the conversation and then all of a sudden your body takes over for the brain and starts to focus on what that mouth might feel like if you pressed your lips up against it. Oh, wow. That kind of a look. Yeah, I totally get it. Right. Well, shortly after what I thought might have been him giving me that look, he got up and abruptly ended the conversation. Next thing I knew, I was suddenly in the back of a smelly Uber with a driver eating curried goat as he drove. Did you find out where he got the curry? I love it. And the place I used to go to closed down. No, sorry. Devin shrugged. Anywho, back to Hot Dad. It's obvious he's into you, and that freaked him out a bit. But why? He's been with women before. He as much as admitted that to me when I told him his daughter was listening to him talk to women at night. So his problem isn't celibacy. Devin frowned. You're looking for Mr. Right, Sadie. Anyone can see that pretty quickly. It's why you haven't really had a long-term relationship of more than a few months. You don't want Mr. Right now or just some random guy to take care of business. I'm sure Sebastian senses that about you. I sighed. I wouldn't mind Sebastian taking care of my business. My friend's eyes sparkled. Now you're talking. So why not put that out there? You're both adults. He's attracted to you, we're attracted to him. I laughed at how she'd said we're attracted to him. But I wasn't so sure about proposing to Sebastian that we get it on. What if I misread the entire situation and I had a piece of salad from dinner between my teeth that he was staring at? do some testing. Bend to tie your shoe when he's behind you, and see if you find his eyes glued to your ass. Better yet, show him that red and black lacy bra and underwear set you bought at that Victoria's Secret sale we went to last month. Sure. I'll just whip off my top and jeans while I'm training a Great Dane. That's a great plan. Devin stood. You'll figure out something. I'm pretty sure you can easily get the reassurance you're looking for to feel certain that Sebastian is attracted to you. That's not the issue. My brows drew together. It's not? Nope. The issue is you'll be too chicken to act on it even once you're sure he wants to bang your brains out. You don't do that type of thing. I've had casual sex before. You know that. She sipped her coffee. Yes, but that's when you knew the guy was all wrong for you. In your mind, it could only ever be casual sex. But with Sebastian, I think you see him as real potential. You'll be too chicken to jump into the fire, no matter how hot and sweaty that fire might be, because you'll be too concerned about getting burned. That's ridiculous. Devin walked to the door of my office. Prove me wrong. I'd love to see it. Friday night, I had a 45-minute yoga class at 5:30 in the evening, and then I was scheduled to go train Marmaduke at 7:30. I figured I'd have time to run home, take a quick shower, and throw my hair into a ponytail before heading uptown. But I considered altering those plans after walking out of the studio. I hadn't changed out of my yoga outfit, and a really cute guy looked my way while I stood out front checking my cell phone messages. His eyes were so glued to me that he actually tripped over his own 2 feet. I looked at him on the ground. Are you okay? The man looked embarrassed. He stood, wiped dirt from his pants, and offered a crooked smile. Yeah, though you really shouldn't walk around the streets in that. People could get hurt. I blushed a little, and after he walked away, I looked down to check out my outfit. I had on a deep purple Lululemon cropped top and a pair of matching leggings with a swirl of mesh cutouts running down each leg. It fit like a second skin, which was why it was perfect for yoga. I had a matching zip-up sweatshirt, but it was stuffed into my gym bag since it was almost 70 degrees out still, even though it was late October. The last 2 days had been a real Indian summer. But the man's reaction gave me an idea. Or rather, it was Devin's idea. Perhaps I should skip going home to change and head over to the Maxwell house dressed like this. I picked up my phone and debated texting Sebastian to see if I could come a little early, but after a minute, I rolled my eyes at what I'd been considering. What the hell is wrong with me? I didn't need to resort to tactics like this to get a man's attention. Any man who wasn't interested in me without me being half-naked wasn't really interested in me. Wow. I really just sounded like my dad. Blowing out a stream of hot air, I headed for the subway. Once I got on my train, I noticed another man looking my way. This outfit definitely caught attention. It made me wonder about what Sebastian would do if I actually showed up wearing it. Would I be disappointed that he didn't even notice? Or would he trip over his own 2 feet? Oh my God. Sebastian had tripped the other day. I'd forgotten all about that. It was right after he'd opened the door and went to go get my iPad. But that had to be a coincidence. I'd only ever noticed him ogling my body once before that. Though that night, I had been all dressed up for my date. But then again, the Maxwell house had an area rug in the living room. I bet the end was rolled up from Marmaduke's running around like a madman, and Sebastian hadn't noticed. Yeah, that had to be it. I took out my phone to scroll through emails and occupy my 6-stop train ride with something other than thoughts of Sebastian Maxwell. It worked for the first 2 stops, but then the train came to an abrupt halt. A few minutes later, we were still not moving when a muffled voice came overhead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have another train on the track up ahead that seems to have run into some mechanical problems. We're going to stick it out here for the time being. I'll update you as soon as I know more.
The occupants of the train let out a collective sigh, and mumbled bitching echoed all around. After 10 more minutes, the conductor's voice came overhead again.
All right, so it looks like they're going to need some time to work on that disabled train up ahead. We're going to have to back it up to the 23rd Street station and let you out to jump on another line. But there's a train behind us, and they need to be relocated first. Service employees will be on hand for those of you not familiar with our lovely subway system. Hope you enjoyed this fun start to your weekend.
Everyone groaned. It took almost another half hour of waiting, but eventually we started to back up slowly. By the time we made it to the 23rd Street station, it was 20 after 7 already. As soon as I got up to street level, I dialed the Maxwell house. Birdie answered.
Hello?
Hey, Birdie, it's Sadie. Is your dad home?
No, he's at work. Are you still coming?
I smiled, hearing the concern in her voice. Yes, of course. I'm just running late because my train got stuck. Could I maybe talk to Magdalene to see if it's okay if I come later than planned?
Sure.
Magdalene got on the line. Hi, Sadie. Hi, Magdalene. I'm running a little late. Would it be all right if I came at maybe 8:30? Is that too late for Birdie?
Well, she actually has a sleepover tonight. Her friend down the block is having a slumber party for her birthday. 6 girls are going. It starts at 8, but I was just going to run her down when you guys were done. But I guess she could go at 9:30. She just went into the bathroom. Want me to ask her if that's okay with her?
I sighed. No, I don't want her to miss even more of her party. I can jump back on the train and head uptown now. I'll probably still be, like, 10 minutes late.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, Magdalene. I speed walked the 2 blocks to cross over to the uptown line that stopped closest to their house, and then slipped inside a waiting train just as the doors were beginning to slide closed. The car was packed and standing room only, so I jockeyed for a spot next to a pole so I could hold on as the train jerked to start moving. Unlike my earlier commute, the express train uptown proved uneventful, and I arrived at the Maxwell house only 7 minutes late. I knocked and waited, expecting Magdalene to let me in. Only it wasn't Magdalene staring at me once the door swung open.
Chapter 15. Sebastian. Jesus Christ. I swallowed. What the hell was she wearing? Hi. I didn't expect you to be home. Birdie said you were at work. My uncontrollable attraction to Sadie pissed me off, and I took my frustration out on her. Is that why you're late? When the cat's away, the mouse will play? No. I called Magdalene and told her that my train got stuck. I was planning on going home to shower after my yoga class. But since the train delayed me an hour, I rushed straight here so I wouldn't make Birdie even later for the birthday party she has tonight. She has a belly button ring. So sparkly. Fuck. I forced my eyes up to meet Sadie's and found her staring at me expectantly. Had she just said something? Trying to rewind the last 10 seconds in my head, I thought she might have. Something about a train? Whatever. I stepped aside. Come in. Magdalene just brought Marmaduke back from a long walk, so he sprawled out on the living room floor. We walked into the house, and Marmaduke looked up. He spotted Sadie, and his tongue started to wag out of his mouth. Yeah, I know the feeling, buddy. Birdie ran out from her room and hugged Sadie, who bent as they embraced, giving me a front-row view of her ass. Christ. She looked as good going as she did coming. My eyes were still glued to that ass when she turned around to speak to me, and I almost got caught. Were you able to get the training clicker I mentioned last week? She asked. My daughter ran to the coffee table and got the contraption from hell and started to click it. Click, 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 click. That sound had been grating on my nerves for the better part of a week since I'd brought it home from the pet store. I looked at Sadie, still feeling irritated, though I was bullshitting myself if I thought my current mood had anything to do with that training clicker. Maybe next time you can pick something a little less annoying to use to train. Sadie's hands flew to her hips, her very shapely hips. Is there something wrong? I raked a hand through my hair and grumbled. I'll be in my office if you need me. Luckily, my office had alcohol. Today had been a long day to begin with. My manager had given me 2 weeks' notice, which meant I was going to have to find a replacement and spend a lot more time at the restaurant until I got a new one trained. Then a small grease fire had broken out in the kitchen, rendering one of our deep fryers unusable. And finally, our vegetable shipment had been switched with another restaurant that apparently planned to make corn a side dish with every meal. I'd come home early, figuring that I wouldn't get many chances to do that again in 2 weeks. Plus, I hadn't been sleeping well the last few days for some reason. So I opened a bottle of wine from where I kept the liquor locked up in a credenza and poured myself a very full glass of Cabernet as I sat down in my chair. God, she is fucking sexy. I slurped a mouthful of the purple liquid down. I had the craziest urge to clasp my teeth around that diamond in her navel and give it a good, strong tug. I swallowed another mouthful. And that ass. Maybe she could teach Duke to jump again. I bet it would be some view of her down on all fours in the get-up she had on today. Another mouthful. What had she called it again? Flunk shit. Fluker butt. Flunker shit. That was it. Jump was flunkerbisht. I started to laugh. The sound was almost maniacal. Flunkerbisht. I want to flunkerbisht the pretend dog trainer. I shook my head and took another swig. For the last week, I hadn't been able to stop thinking about her. The night she picked up her iPad, she'd been so vulnerable and open when I'd asked about her father. Her big blue eyes had been filled with emotion and sincerity. It had been a long time since I met a woman who put her heart out there for the world to see. Not to mention, there were a lot of other parts of her worth seeing. The little workout outfit she wore today nailed that point home, that was for sure. God, that outfit. I knocked back the last of my wine. Over the next hour, I polished off half the bottle. The sound of Sadie and Bertie laughing in the other room had become so distracting that I'd cranked up music and shut my eyes. So I hadn't heard the knock at the door when they finished up. Hey, Sadie cracked the door open enough to stick her head in. Sorry, you weren't answering. We're all done. Bertie just went to grab her backpack for the slumber party. Would you want me to walk her down to the house where the sleepover is? Her eyes zoned in on the wine bottle and my empty glass. She smirked. I can see you're very busy. My lips pursed. No, it's fine. I'm perfectly capable of taking my daughter. Thank you. Sadie's eyes narrowed. We stared at each other for a solid 30 seconds, and then she opened the door and stepped inside. Closing the door behind her, she asked, Is everything okay? You seem upset. Don't check her out. Keep your eyes on her face. Everything's fine. She tilted her head and assessed me. Are you sure? My eyes dropped to her stomach. I just couldn't help myself. God, you're such a dick, Maxwell. Eyes back up. Raise them up. Come on, you can do it. Sadie stayed quiet. I couldn't even tell you if she was looking at me, because my eyes were all over her, tracing the curve of her waist, salivating over her flat stomach, fantasizing about that sparkly diamond in her belly button. She took a few steps and started to walk toward my desk. Maybe it was the wine, but my heart started to beat out of my chest. I attempted to lift my eyes to her face, and this time it worked. Well, sort of. They raised, but unfortunately, they snagged on her chest. What are those? C cups? Nice. Very nice. I bet her cleavage gets really sweaty doing that yoga. Hot sweat dripping down from between her luscious round tits to that belly button. By the time I managed to drag my eyes up enough to meet hers, Sadie was standing right in front of my desk. She rocked back and forth ever so slightly. What are you doing, Sebastian? Our eyes locked, and the wicked hint of a smirk made me think she'd just heard all my thoughts. I swallowed. Nothing. Nothing, huh? So you're just sitting there, looking around, then? The corner of her lips tilted upward. What a smartass. She knew exactly what I was doing. I straightened up in my chair and cleared my throat. If you're done, you can show yourself out. Is that what you're sitting there thinking about? How much you want me to... Leave? A knock at my office door made me blink a few times. I was thoroughly confused when I looked over and saw Sadie pop her head into my office. What the? Wasn't she? I glanced to where I could have sworn she'd just been standing. It took a few seconds to snap out of it and realize that I must have dozed off from the wine and had been dreaming. Jesus. Sadie smiled. We're all done. Why don't I walk Birdie down to her sleepover for you, since I'll be heading out anyway? Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Let me go say goodnight to her. I walked out to the living room. Birdie was already standing there with her backpack on, a pillow and sleeping bag in her hands. Looks like you're all ready. I squatted down to her level. How about a hug for your old man? My daughter threw her arms around my neck with a huge smile.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Marmaduke did great today. When Sadie clicks the clicker, he sits now.
Is that so? She nodded. All right. I gave a gentle tug to her ponytail. Why don't you get going to your party? Birdie turned to start to walk away, but then ran back to me. Her tiny hand cupped my cheek.
I'm right down the block if you need me.
My heart squeezed and I smiled. Thanks. I'll remember that. She kissed me one more time and then skipped off toward the door.
Anything you want me to tell the parents? Sadie asked.
No, I'll text Renee and check in later.
Okay.
Apparently that nap and my ensuing fantasy had done me some good. I managed to have a civil conversation with Sadie and didn't eye fuck her like I'd done in that dream. Though when she turned around to follow Birdie to the front door, I just couldn't help checking out her ass in those yoga pants again. I mean, it was right there, so in my face. What man in his right mind wouldn't take a peek?
Oh, I almost forgot. Sadie turned around, and my eyes jumped to meet hers.
Fuck, she caught me. If I hadn't been sure I'd just gotten busted, the knowing smirk Sadie flashed would have confirmed she knew what I'd done. She didn't even bother to try to hide it. Extending her hand, she held out the clicker.
This is yours.
I looked away as I took it from her hand. Great, thanks. After she walked out, I hung my head behind the closed door.
God, you're a jackass, Maxwell. You need to get laid.
Since I had the night all to myself, maybe that's exactly what I should do. I'd been talking to this woman, Arena, for a while, a busy advertising executive who I'd met online and who was seeking the exact type of arrangement as I was. But I had blown her off for the last few weeks. Maybe it was time to get back in touch. As I walked back to my office where I kept my laptop, I tried to psych myself up. Irina. She was sexy. Long red hair. A woman who knew what she wanted. That's exactly what I needed. Yeah, that's it. I'm definitely going to see what Sadie's doing tonight. Arena. Reaching my desk, I decided to pour another glass of wine before jumping online to see if Arena might be available. I sat down and sipped, but decided to shut my eyes once again. I needed a moment to clear my head. But instead of gaining clarity, visions of Sadie flooded my mind. Again. She was so damn sexy. That ass. That flat stomach, that sparkly freaking diamond, her big, beautiful eyes, and that mouth. The way the corners turned up when she'd caught me checking out her ass. Jesus, what I wouldn't give to fuck that mouth. I laughed at myself and opened my eyes. Good thing she was gone, because God knows what dumb thing I would have done tonight. The woman had me losing my mind. I took another big swig of my wine and opened my laptop, just as the doorbell rang.
Chapter 16. Sadie. He opened the door and my mind went blank. Turning around and ringing the bell had been a split-second decision. I just hadn't wanted to leave. The problem was, I probably should have thought up an excuse as to why I came back before I did it. Sebastian's breathing quickened with every second that he took me in. Everything okay? I swallowed but continued to blank out. What was I supposed to say? I couldn't tell him the truth. I saw you checking me out and thought you might be interested in touching me, too. He broke the ice.
Is this the part where I assume you're the dog trainer and scold you for being late? Feels like deja vu right now. Me opening the door and you looking stunned.
He flashed a crooked smile, which calmed me down a bit. I laughed nervously. He gestured with his head.
While you're figuring it out, why don't you come in? It was so warm today, but it's getting chilly now.
I brushed my hands over my arms. Thanks. Marmaduke ran to the door and began to jump all over me. Not exactly the man I wanted on me right now. Thankfully, he calmed down pretty quickly before heading to the corner of the room to hump a stuffed toy. Yeah, you're not the only one all worked up tonight, buddy. Sebastian just stared at me, still in need of an explanation as to why I'd suddenly returned. Jesus Christ. Grow some balls, Sadie. You're a dating advice columnist, for Christ's sake, and you can't seem to remember how to act around a man you're attracted to. I came back because I wondered if you might want some company tonight, I blurted. Sebastian placed his hands in his pockets, looking less than comfortable with my proclamation. His reaction made me panic a little, so I tried to laugh it off. That's stupid, right? You probably have plans. If so, I can just like...
Do you like white or red? He suddenly said.
It took a few seconds for his question to sink in. He was referring to wine. I'm in? Actually, the red you were drinking looked really good.
Be right back, he said.
I fidgeted as Sebastian went back into his study, returning to the living room with the bottle and his glass. He placed them on the coffee table before venturing into the kitchen. After he returned, I watched as he poured me a large glass before emptying the remainder of the bottle into his own. Thank you, I said. I sat down on one end of the sofa. Then he proceeded to sit all the way at the other end, at the farthest spot away from me. I took a sip of my drink and said, So, what were your plans tonight if I hadn't weaseled my way into your evening? His lips twitched.
I hadn't quite figured it out.
It's probably rare that Birdie's not home.
Yeah, I think she's only had one other sleepover before this.
Sebastian looked exceptionally good tonight. He was dressed more casually than normal. A navy t-shirt clung to his broad chest. He wore jeans, and his feet were bare. He had large, beautiful feet. If a man's feet could even be considered beautiful. Well, he and his feet were totally beautiful in every way.
Did I step in something?
He asked. Shit, he'd caught me. Oh no, I was just admiring your feet. I cringed. Maybe I shouldn't have admitted that.
Thank you. He wrinkled his forehead. I think.
Sebastian rested his arm on the back of the sofa and continued to stay in his corner of the couch.
So where exactly do you go to work out, Sadie?
I do a 45-minute yoga class a few times a week. It's near my place.
Nice. I probably should be taking up something like that for stress relief.
It's excellent for stress relief, but I do it for flexibility. He cleared his throat.
So you're flexible?
Very. I'd been intentionally self-assured in my answer on that one. Today she had us practice this pose where your legs go back over your head. He looked like he almost wanted to spit out his wine.
That sounds very adventurous. What's that called? Downward dog? Dogs are your thing.
He winked. I chuckled. No, downward dog is a front-facing exercise. She had us bend our legs back and over our head. It's called plow pose. His eyes widened.
You're bending your legs over your head and it's called plow pose?
The irony in that terminology only now just hit me. He has a dirty mind. I love it. I guess it's a waste of a skill, considering nothing has been happening in that arena. Sebastian said nothing as he downed the last of his wine. Then he lifted the bottle.
More wine?
I'll have a refill, yeah. Thanks.
This bottle is empty. Want to try something else? Or shall I open another bottle of cab?
I really liked that one. What's it called? He went to check the label. And I could have sworn I saw his face turn red.
Apparently, he hadn't realized the name until now. He wouldn't say. Well, I prodded.
It's called Pornfelder.
He laughed awkwardly as he opened the bottle and refilled our glasses. I couldn't help but laugh myself. What a name!
Sounds like someone made it up. Sort of like Flunkerbrust.
My face felt numb from embarrassment. Yes. He raised his glass.
You should trademark that, by the way.
He drank some more of his wine, and when the glass left his mouth, I noticed his eyes travel down to my navel and back up again. I loved noticing him looking at me. He immediately started a new topic of conversation to divert from the fact that I'd caught him staring at my belly ring.
So you never told me how you got into writing?
I repositioned myself in my seat, making myself a bit more comfortable. Well, I was a journalism major in college, but for many years I never did anything with my degree, just worked odd jobs. At one point, I took an internship with the company that owns my magazine, and the reporter I worked under let me dabble in writing some of the articles. Eventually, I was hired as a general staff writer, and I've bounced around various departments ever since. The Holiday Wishes column has stuck with me for years, but my main writing assignments have changed a few times. I did articles on business etiquette for a few years, and then switched to writing the Beauty Basics column. Writing about makeup got boring pretty fast.
But you've been doing the dating column for a while, right?
Yeah, I smiled. For a few years. That one stuck. They seem to think I'm the right fit for it, and it's become pretty popular.
Well, I can see why. Women must love to live vicariously through a beautiful, successful woman living in the city. It's like that show my mother used to watch, the one with the girl from Hocus Pocus.
That made me crack up. Sarah Jessica Parker, yeah. Sex and the City. Although I'm more like the poor girls, Carrie Bradshaw. He seemed to be almost looking through me when he said,
"You blow all those chicks out of the water."
My entire body filled with heat. He'd just complimented me, and I had no clue how to handle it. I basically just wanted to jump him, but I didn't think that would go off too well.
"Do you see yourself staying at that job?"
he asked. As much as I might complain, I really do enjoy it. Couldn't really imagine myself with a typical 9-to-5.
"What happens if you find someone you want to spend your life with? Do you still do the dating column?"
His question made my heart flutter a little. I'm not betting on that with my luck, but if it were to happen, then I wouldn't do the dating column. It has to be organic. If my heart belonged to someone else, what would be the point in faking it out there? It wouldn't work, and it wouldn't be fair to my partner, either.
So you'd ask for a reassignment?
His curiosity on the topic gave me what was probably a delusional sense of hope. Yes, I'd probably just write in one of the other departments, if they'd have me.
Like the Santa column.
He smiled. For the first time, I noticed he had subtle dimples. That's seasonal, so it wouldn't cover me for the whole year, but that one I'll stick with regardless, as long as they'll have me. It's so gratifying.
I'm happy you love your job, he said.
Yeah, you know, because the dog training thing.
Well, that's not going anywhere.
He chuckled.
Exactly.
I finished off my wine and sighed. Things could always be worse, you know? I'm not exactly where I thought I'd be at almost 30, but I'm fortunate to be happy overall, healthy, and to have one part of my life right, my career.
And the other parts?
Well, I always thought I'd be settled by this age, maybe have a child. I'm not sure if that's in the cards for me. He stared at me for a few moments, then said,
"But you want it. You want the family, the house, the dog."
Without hesitation, I said, "I do, but only if it's with the right person." He nodded and seemed to be deep in thought. I wondered if he was thinking about Amanda, how he had had all those things at one time, the house, the family, the beautiful wife, but now she was gone. None of it really came together without your significant other, the one you love. And not having her around meant that he had to be both the mother and father to Birdie, which couldn't have been easy, given his demanding job. "Are you okay, Sebastian?" I felt compelled to ask. I'm not referring to this moment, but I mean, in a general sense, handling the single dad thing?
You mean, am I just pretending to hold it all together while being really depressed inside?
He stared off.
Honestly, sometimes. But I make sure I keep going so fast that I don't get swallowed up by the depression part. It's just there in the background.
I gulped, not sure what to say. It must be hard to move on when you had such a great marriage. I know it was hard for my dad. He closed his eyes and shook his head.
Bertie thinks her mom and dad had the perfect marriage. But my wife and I had our fair share of struggles. When my daughter was 2, we actually separated for a while.
My eyes widened. That was the last thing I'd expected him to say. I'd thought he had the perfect little family. Wow, I had no idea.
Obviously, my daughter doesn't know. And I'd really like to keep it that way.
Of course. I'd never say anything to her. I shook my head. Can I ask what happened?
I'm going to need more wine for this.
Sebastian refilled his glass and poured me another. Sighing, he said,
The restaurant took a while to become what it is today. We both worked a lot of hours, had a new baby. We put all our energy into the business and our daughter. And I guess at the end of the day, we didn't have enough left to give our relationship the focus it needed.
I'm partly to blame for that. But Sebastian sipped his wine.
I guess my wife needed someone to talk to about something other than money problems or diapers. And, well, she got close to a waiter at the restaurant. One night they had a little too much to drink, and they got a little too close.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
He nodded. We tried to go to counseling, but I couldn't seem to get past it. So after a few months, we separated. I moved out and got a small apartment nearby so I could still be near my daughter. We were just starting to adjust to living on our own when Amanda found out during a routine exam that her ovarian cancer was back. It put things into perspective. I'd never stopped loving my wife, and she needed me.
So you got back together? He nodded.
We had good years after that. But Amanda always thought the only reason that I made things work was because of her cancer diagnosis.
But it wasn't? Sebastian smiled sadly.
I don't know how things would have worked out had she not gotten sick, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes in life you need a little push to get where you should be. Her illness was my push. We made it work, and I was in awe of the strength she had, watching her fight every day. I have a lot of guilt that she died thinking